Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. And He loves you.
November, we bringing the year to a close. Tuned in, you know, most of the year this time, we basically go throughout the year. It's a weekly thing, and we study the book of Proverbs to start our Sundays off right as men, trying to get closer to God, growing knowledge and wisdom. Another thing is, you know, the time has gone back, so some people join in a little late, I do understand, but you know, moving forward, today is November the 6th, so we're going to be reading and studying Proverbs 6 this Sunday. I'm going to start us off with a word of prayer, and we're going to get right into it, okay? Dear Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for getting us all here safely. I thank you for continuing to bless us to get through another year. Pray that you continue to keep us and help us grow knowledge in you and in wisdom and somehow apply it to our lives and be effective to somebody else and be used by you. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. So, Proverbs 6 is titled Warnings Against Folly. We're going to be reading again from the New International Version. I'm going to read the first two verses, and we're going to get right into it. So it says, my son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you have shaken hands and pledged for a stranger, you have been trapped by what you said and snared by the words of your mouth. Basically, what I think this verse right here is saying is these verses, might I say, but I think this one right here, you know, says if you may build a bond with somebody, or maybe, you know, say that you have somebody's back, or say that you'll do something just in general, you know, that's your word. And that person will hold you to that word. It says, you know, you've been trapped by what you said. I think, you know, that could go either way, good or bad, you know. Nowadays, you know, as men, a lot of the time they say, you know, all we have is our word. You know, we say that our word is something that we keep. You know, our word comes from our heart. So when we use those words or we say that we promise something, or we promise something to somebody that deems something to us, or, you know, or you make that, you've been, per se, I wouldn't say trapped, but, you know, that person's going to hold you to your words. That's what I think that this verse is saying right here. What do you think about that, Brother Jamal?
First of all, you say you don't think it's trapped. I would say trapped. But other battles would say,
Okay.
No funny. But yeah, I believe that what you're saying is true. And I understand that the verses better that now that you have broken down. We have to be careful about what we say. Like when you say, I have your back. Now, you, well, let me use myself for example. I had a friend, and that was my man. You know, we grew up together, sandbox. We grew up together, you know. And one time I told him, I said, man, you know, my door is always open to you. And, you know, so he started coming out. He started coming to my house every day. Every day. So, you know, my mom, you know, would say, well, you know, I'm tired every time I come to the house, I see him. And so, you know, when I started to tell him, hey, man, look, you know, you can't be over here like that, man, because, you know, I'm kind of getting tired of it. And, you know, and one thing that he said to me, he said that I told him that my door was always open. You know, me thinking that, okay, he will understand as a man that, you know, I can't keep being around somebody all day, every day. You know what I'm saying? All day, every day. So we have to be careful in the words that we use when we're talking to people. Nine times out of ten, we find ourselves as men in trouble promising females something we know we can't do. And we find ourselves getting in trouble because of the promise that we made, because of the pact that we made with people. See, some people that you tell them that you have their back forever, listen, people are only in your life for a season. So 30 years down the road, somebody say, hey, man, yeah, I need you to do this illegal stuff because remember back in the day I did this for you. You told me you always be here for me. So now you're in a bad predicament. So I guess the moral of these two verses is be careful of what you say.
Amen, amen. All lines are open. Is anybody available to comment or like to comment on these two verses right here?
Yeah. Good morning, guys. I think you guys are right on it. And, you know, as Minister Jamal summed it up, you know, you got to be careful what you open your mouth to say that you're going to do. Because, like you said, with that situation, someone's going to call you on it. And so, if you co-sign with someone, you got to make sure that you're going to be able to back them up. A lot of times I use this verse when people talk about their boys and people talk about who you're hanging with. And, you know, we cool, I got your back. And then when something go down in the street or something, you know, you co-sign with them, you know, you either going to put up or shut up. And so you got to be careful what the situation, who you going to co-sign with. I mean, if you're going to co-sign with someone you know that's always getting in trouble, I had a buddy back in the day, every time he'd get to drinking, he'd want to go and touch all over the female. I'm like, dude, that's not cool, man. I mean, it's like, that's not your girl. You need to stop drinking if you're going to do that. And, you know, I just said, well, I can't hang out with you no more because every time we go out, you touch somebody's girl, you get in a fight. We got to fight every time you go out because you're not supposed to be drinking. And so in these first four verses, it lets us know that if you are in a situation like that, do everything you can to get out of it. And there's no shame with saying, hey, you know, you can't really get me killed or you're going to get us locked up because you're doing some crazy stuff. So I'm out of here. And, you know, it's one thing to be there with someone where you know they're striving, they're trying to do right. But if there's someone that's just acting up and just doing foolish stuff and you going down and end up in a bad situation because they're just acting unwise, and we need to uncouple ourselves and get out of that type of relationship with those type of people. So, you know, that's why I say avoid it if you can. If you can, just don't even get involved. It's like, nah, that's all right, man. You go ahead and do what you got to do. I'm going to stay away from that. That's not me. But, you know, a lot of times we, you know, we talk that game, you know, they talk that it sounds good. Yeah, yeah, I got you. I'm with you, man. Yeah, me Casa, you Casa, you know, wah, wah. When push comes to shove, them folk acting crazy. And you done signed on, co-signed with them. Now they looking for you to put up. That's what happens to a lot of games and things like that. You know, people sign up and, you know, they get in, but they can't get out.
Amen. True words, Richard.
Got a lot of movies say, you know, who we make our association and our packs with. You know, and I like to add that, you know, we say these are our boys, we say these are our friends, but if they were really our boys and really our friends, they would put us in situations that could get us in trouble. We must understand to be spiritually mature, as we were talking about last Sunday, to be spiritually mature, to know that, you know, like I say, your friend's not going to put you. Your real friend's not gonna put you in a situation. They know that your life has taken a turn. You're walking with the Lord, you ain't into what you used to be into. You know what I mean? And so friends should be able to respect that. You know, and you know, like Pastor said, we have to be able to know who to make you pack with, because it's time to shove. You say you down. You don't even know what you're really down for. You're saying that you're down. And I got you. So whatever that they get into, they expect you. They expect when they call you for you to do something about it in return. So those are great parts. Is there anybody else mind before we can go on? Anybody had an example, comment, anything, another interpretation before we move on? All right. Well, let's go to verse 3 and 4. Verse 3 says, so do this, my son, to free yourself. Since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands, go to the point of exhaustion and give your neighbor no rest. Verse 4 says, allow no sleep to your eyes and slumber to your eyelids. So basically, you know, as Pastor was saying, you know, you gotta get out of that situation. You have to avoid these situations. We have to, and it's saying that don't even allow no sleep to come to your eyes. So this is how serious that it is, that we can't even, you know, allow no sleep to come over us before we get ourselves out of this tight bind. It says go to the point of exhaustion, and. Give your neighbor no rest. So what it's saying is that at the point, you have to make sure that at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, that you have freed yourself. It goes down to verse 5, and it actually says, free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. So you know that once if you ever seen a gazelle, you know that once the predator has come about, They're gone. As soon as they drinking some water or something, as soon as they see that line, you know something, they gone. They look up, they look left and right, and they gone. So God is telling us to once we notice that the enemy is on the prowl, get gone. And see, just like a gazette, and we're better off than the gazette because runs off without guidance. Without direction, but we know where to go. So as soon as the enemy arrives, we have to kill him. You know what I'm
saying? I definitely agree. You know, I was thinking about, you know, when we were talking about earlier in the verse about how you shouldn't let your eyes get no rest, or you shouldn't get any rest during the problem or the situation. You know, sometimes. When you think about certain situations that you get in, and certain situations just need to be fixed, you know, with certain people that you have, you know, where it talks about, you know, don't get any rest until you actually you know, fix the situation. You know, you shouldn't get any rest. I'm not sure the exact verse, but, you know, it talks about that in the Bible and how.
First of all, allow no sleep to come to your eyes and come out.
Yeah.
Allow no sleep to come to your eyes and no slumber to your eyelids. That says free yourself. You know, and I'm going to be honest with you, man. See, God's not going to bend your arm. He ain't going to do none of that, right? See, God's going to make sure that when you free yourself. God's going to make sure that if you want to be free, he's giving you the way. And this is the key. This is the key that when God gets you out of something, know that he's going to get you out all the way. Know that, first of all, he ain't going to make you do nothing. He ain't going to make if you want to keep on getting burnt by that fire, go ahead. Strike the match. But when you're done getting burnt up, God is waiting for you. When you're done, Pastor said, when you're tired of getting your butt whooped, there's a place that you can go where I heard a preacher say that there's a place that you can go where the vultures can't get to you there. There's a place that we can go, but we have to free ourselves. And it talked about it in Psalms 91, the prayer of protection. We have to free ourselves. But we have to free ourselves at the Gazette. It says, don't allow sin to come on your eyes. So what he's saying is that at all costs, get out. Get out. This is a bad situation for you. At all costs, get out. Be like the Gazette. The Gazette takes no chances. The Gazette hears some leaves ruffling. He lifts up, he go. He go. So any comments, add on?
Yeah, I just want to say that sometimes we let our mind play tricks on us. When we know to get out of there, they say, well, yeah, that is my boy. Yeah, I know, you know. But you got to get past that and say, you know, there's a lot of people in jail because they, you know, was associated with somebody who was doing something wrong. And that's why you can't sleep before you get out of that situation. You just got to say, I need to get out of here. Because I know if I continue in this, it's just like a guy you hang out with. As soon as he takes, like, one drink, it's all over. As soon as I see that girl getting ready to take a drink, I was gone. See you. Because I know it wasn't going to lead to nothing but some drama. You know, I know we went to school together and everything, but it's like, nah, he can't. This is not for him. I'm going to end up in trouble. And you know, as soon as I see it, like that gazelle, I was out of there. See you. Bye. And, you know, they can talk bad about you. They can say this, oh, man, you ain't right. Oh, man, you ain't with me. Oh, man, you ain't down with you know, for whatever. You know, that's true, you know. You're going to end up behind bars, and I'm going to keep it moving, you know. But that's what these verses are, is don't co-sign with someone that you can't be, that you really shouldn't be co-signed with. In other words, be careful who you co-sign with. And then if you co-sign with someone and it's not right, get out of that thing. You know, don't go co-sign, put your name down with somebody that you know that's not going to be able to pay for the car because they're going to do something, and then you're going to get left paying the car note. So it's you got to be careful. You got to be careful because folk will get you to co-sign on it and leave you holding the bag. And, you know, it's no fun.
Amen, amen, amen. Like you said, you could have got yourself in some trouble. They might have called you a punk, right? But you would have been a punk then. But they would have been Tyrone's punk for about 20 years.
Hey, come on, man.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you guys. We're gonna, if there's no more comments, we're going to move on to the next couple verses right here. Verses 6 through 8. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, nor overseer, or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. I think this right here, you know, talks about even going back to, you know, knowing the people that you hang out with, which, you know, you got to know and consider things just like the ant, you know, taking consideration of your time, taking consideration, you know, when you, the way you do certain things, you know, ants can lift 10 times their weight, and they're that small. You know, sometimes you got to be on your own. Sometimes you got to not have that one friend like you guys been talking about, and that drinks all the time, or that likes to get in trouble all the time. Sometimes you got to lift your own weight. Be your own friend sometimes, you know. Just get close to God. Or just, you know, think about things that you're doing in your life. Focus on yourself. I think, you know, as men, if we focus on ourselves sometimes and not the other things, you know, don't get booty blinded all the time and, you know, focus on ourselves and get our money right. Or, you know, get our lives right, then, you know, we'd be better off than we are now. That's the way I think about that verse, you know, talk about the end and everything, you know, time.
You know, I like what you said there, right? And what I'm thinking the whole time while you're saying it, I'm thinking about preparation. Because, see, preparation is a key to life. We go through things not for just ourselves. We go through it for somebody else. See, as an ant, the ant goes and builds his harvest before time. And, you know, I'm just saying, right? I know in my black family, there was no preparation. They was trying to get gifts on Christmas Eve, trying to get food the day before the day of Thanksgiving. And what comes from that, right, is just rush stuff. And God's not going to bless no rush mess. So we have to be able to take the time out to prepare for what is to come. I know I've used this analogy before. Big Mama, my grandmother, you know, the Sunday before the Redskins came on, she always cooked dinner. I cooked big dinner, Redskins and all that. You know, I don't know why, but we ain't getting all that. But, you know, the Saturday before, she's in the kitchen cooking. She's in the kitchen cooking on Saturday, all day Saturday. On Sunday morning, when you know, she left church a little early on Sunday morning, so she didn't go warm up the things that were already prepared, so that when the people came to the table, they didn't come with happen to wait for what they hungered for, but it was already on the table. So go out into the world, and we're talking to these people. Like you said, sometimes you can't be with everybody. You got to go in your quiet place. Why? Because I'm preparing. And they're going to talk about you. You think you're going to miss something, but you ain't missing nothing, because what is going to come out of you, it has to be much preparation for. The calling that God is putting on our lives, can't nobody just get up out their bed and just go do it. But there has to be times when you're crying. There has to be times when you're depressed. There has to be times when you feel like your family has neglected you. So that when you go in the trenches, because God's not going to prepare you when he's not going to put you. See, when he's putting you in the trenches, he's going to put you in trench-like situations. He's going to make your skin tough, so when the first person come out their mouth wrong, you just won't turn around, because there's a job to be done. So he's preparing you for the things to come. So whatever you're going through in your life, and you think you're going through too much, listen, it's preparation for things to come, because what God has for you, there's a need. And there's a need like no other. So what God is going to do, God is going to allow you to get beat. It's like the obstacle course. But when you get off the obstacle course, you're better than you were.
I doubt that. You were slowing there for a minute.
The preparation, man. It's about the being prepared. Nothing takes God by surprise. He's just prepared. And what he's trying to do is prepare us for this world. I know that some people, when they lose their parents, you know, some of them, they can't get back. When my mom told me the other day, she said, from day one when she was born until my grandmother left here, my grandmother did what she prepared her to be everything. That she prepared her to be a mother. She prepared her to be a wife. She showed her how to cook. She showed her how to clean, so that when my grandmother left this earth, that she would not just be stuck in the box, but she would still be able to maintain and go on. It's about preparation.
I'm done, I promise. Go ahead, man.
I'm up in here.
Yeah, we turn the air down, but I definitely agree. You know, one thing that I was thinking about is, you know, sometimes we lose sight of the goal, and we lose sight of what the finish is going to be, you know. Sometimes we get discouraged in certain situations that we get in, but, you know, we got to remind ourselves that at the end, God already won. So it's like, you know, looking into the future, if you already see who's going to win in the end, the Bible tells us.
We already won.
Everything already happened, you know.
We're just preparing for the victory.
Exactly.
Huh?
You know, we preparing for the post game. That's like you down, what? When we play 2K, you down 20 points.
Come back.
You already done.
Come on.
You already done, you
it's
know.
It's about the preparation, man. That's what I love about God. Is that it's the day
post-game.
When you come out and you say, okay, I knew what that was for. And then, bro, you dance to this. You dance to this, right? Your message said that, why, how do you know that cake tastes good? Because you had it before. Mm-hmm. So when you're being prepared and then when the same things come about, hey, man, I had this before. This ain't that bad. Guess what? It's going to turn out good.
Always.
It might hurt a little bit. I'm going to cry. That's what I want you to know. As men, we're going to cry. When we on this walk with God, we're going to get pissed off. We're going to get frustrated. We're going to throw it out. But this is just preparation for the next young man that's going to come up and we'll want to throw in the towel. And we'll let him know that it's okay, right? Because at the end of the day, said and done, that it's going to be good for you.
Amen. Speaking of young men, we got a young man with us right now. You know, we want to get a little insight on. What do you think about this?
It's different ways of life from perspective. I can speak on. I know what it feels like to feel like.
I can't hear ya.
So he can have some form of view over your life, because God sees all of us through in any situation. Sometimes you might be going through a rough patch with your family. You might have a loss of life in the family, friend maybe. But God will always find a way to encourage you and motivate you to move on. Just from me listening to what everyone was saying, it seems pretty much on point. It's touching me. I'm just sitting here listening because I can take heed to some of the words that's being said today. So I was just listening and absorbing.
All right. We're going to ask for any more comments before we close. Anybody have any here? All right. There's nothing else. Brother Jamal, can you close it out?
Yeah. I just want to thank everybody for coming up for the word. All we want you to give them is be prepared, and it's okay. The preparation is fine. The crying, the depression, the lonely, it's all right. It's okay. So God is preparing us for greater. So with that being said, all hearts and minds are clear. Go into the Lord. Thank you, Father God, for this day. Father, we just want to thank you for your son, Jesus. We want to thank you for sending him on the cross, Father God, and not sending that it was robbery, Father God, but just for the save sinners like us, Father God. We want to thank you, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, for things, Father God, that are on the way. We want to thank you, Father God, for all of the trials and the tribulations and the preparation, Father God, that we go through every day, Father God, to be prepared for the things that you have for us, Father God. We ask you right now, Father God, to bind up the adversary, Father God. In your word, it says that whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever is loose on earth is loose in heaven. So we bind up the adversary right now in the name of Jesus. We loose the healing power of the Holy Spirit, the restoration power of the Holy Spirit, the delivering power of the Holy Spirit right now, Father God. We ask you to be in our church services, Father God, wherever that may be, Father God. Father God, we ask you, Father God, to fill pastor up right now, Father God. Let him have a strong word, Father God. Anoint his head, Father God, from his head to his feet, Father God. Hide him behind your cross, Father God, that when he goes up and proclaim your word, Father God, that we don't see him, Father God, but we only see you, Father God. And Father God, we ask you just to bless the first word as a whole, Father God. Your word said that if we draw all men, if we keep your name lifted up, Father God, that you'll draw all men. So hallelujah to
to your name. Bless your name, Father. You're worthy. We love you. We adore you, Father God. Keep us, Father God, forever in your care. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. We'd like to thank everybody for tuning in once again. This is The First Word. In closing, everybody have a great week. Pray that something was said today that affected your life. Peace.
Thank you.